racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
A very good Friday. Race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website, stevebeck.com, and right up to the end of the first half of the broadcast season for us. You want to talk about being a creature of habit, they say, right? They say the horsemen are notoriously creatures of habit. Every single year. Last week of June, first week of July, and then again at the end of the year, the last week of December. Take the same vacation. It's all right. It's all right. I got to tell you, there's something to be said for having a routine. And you know, even though a lot of what happens, you know, when you're following, you know, the circuits and the racetrack action, the Triple Crown season, and then into the summer season, and Breeders' Cup, and the winter, it's always a little different, but it's also always, you know, there's a certain familiarity. So, looking forward to going to take 8 days, and we will give you best of. And actually, Casey, you and I tell you, Casey, we're either getting old or lazy. Because we really did not discuss the plans for. Are you doing anything? You didn't let me know. Sometimes you tell me you're going to be gone. You're going to go, you know, Bahamas usually is Casey. That's a Christmas thing, though, right, Case? Christmas, the Bahamas junket. Yeah, right. Yeah, Bahamas for Christmas. That's what I thought. In fact, you know, that's this year. The new Hallmark movie this year is Bahamas for Christmas. That's the title. That's amazing. Well, and Case mentioning, and you know, with my dad 2 weeks ago, Case lost his Graham at 98. And on that topic, actually, I mean, I hate to go right into that. I mean, I got plenty of things to talk about, but we will talk to Rusty Arnold this morning. Rusty's going to join us after Kevin Kirstein, and Rusty on to pay homage to Glenn Bromigan, past and then also at a ripe age, right? The 90 years, and the patriarch of Ashbrook, and Rusty's trained, as far as I know, I mean, Rusty's trained for Bromigan from the inception. So Rusty Arnold to pay tribute and thoughts out to the whole family and his wife, Sandy, as well. But Bo and you know, everybody that, he's got a big extended clan and the whole industry acknowledging. It seemed to have had a fabulous life, and Rusty will give us some insights. You know, one thing yesterday we did not get a chance. We kept trying to get Christoph, and it was tied up. But next time we get Christoph and we're back for the second half, and there'll be plenty of reason to talk to Christoph Clement, we'll have him tell you about Alec Head as well, and of course internationally was being paid tribute to over the last 36, 48 hours. The weekend here, I mean, we're going to try to keep an eye on next week as well. That's why KK's coming in. Marty McGee continuing to recover from knee replacement, and so won't talk to Marty until after we get back. But KK will give us a little bit of a look ahead, a little advance on next weekend and the Foster card, and we'll get a couple of probable fields. Those are all kind of bubbling to the surface, and then of course, actually tomorrow, I mean, Scully and Schaap will handicap plenty, and their coverage will include that Chicago tomorrow. And, you know, this am I right thinking that this used to be, didn't this used to be a handicap? The Chicago, right? I'm pretty sure it was the Chicago handicap at one time. Phillies and Mares tomorrow, part of the unbelievably interesting cross-country pick five. And we'll try to cherry pick between the Thistledown Stakes, the Lady Jacqueline and the Ohio Derby, this, the Chicago, and the Mother Goose at Belmont. We'll talk to Dave Grenig later. And then the race at, there's a turf sprint at Monmouth that's included. That's a little bit of a tricky read, the Goldwood. But if you have not looked at the Chicago tomorrow, this is very, very tough. And, you know, a lot of familiar names like Bell's the One and Sconson and Lady Rocket. Cherie DeVoe brings back Bareness here off of the Roxalana win. And certainly, Bareness, if the weather's wet, she excels. She's three of her five wins actually have come on the wet track. So those are some of the familiar names. But how about Mike Stidham getting his hands on that Godolphin runner that kind of tiptoed into Laurel and won the Heavenly Cause very quietly with a 91 buyer, first North America, Penny Baker, Medaglia d'Oro out of the adorable Macaroon, who, of course, a daughter of Fast Cookie, the wonderful Fast Cookie. That's one of my Fast Cookie, in the vein, frankly, of Hollywood Story. I loved Fast Cookie. She was terrific, and she's been a great broodmare. But Penny Baker, looking for graded type here. Calypso, who is in the hands of Steve Asmussen since winter, and coming off of that Memorial Day win, that sprint I mentioned when I went through the field the other day, the Lone Star win. Calypso, I don't know. She always seemed to be. She won the La Brea, but it felt like, other than that, you know, she did win the Santa Ynez. You know, she's had a nice career, but she's never really run all that fast. She's just you know, she's not as fast as these horses. Bell's the One is faster. Sconson. Even Four Graces coming off that big win. Four Graces, got beat, right? And yeah, Obligatory, that's right. Obligatory beat her in the Derby City Distaff, beat her a half, three quarters of a length. But that was, you know, that effort, if she runs back to that Four Graces, that's going to translate very well. The Filly and Mare Turf Division is going to be a little bit more robust, it feels like, when we keep, you know, getting to Saratoga for the Ballerina, and then the three-year-olds when they matriculate and start facing elders, and when we get to, you know, things like the Presque Isle Masters and the Madison, and, you know, we get to the later portion of the year toward Breeders' Cup, I think we're going to have a very good Filly and Mare Sprint Division. This is, you know, last week we talked, or actually at Belmont, we talked about, you know, how you didn't need more than the five that were in the Ogden Phipps. This kind of fits that same scenario. I mean, here's seven, and when it comes to building your cross country ticket, I'm not sure. Bell's the One in Wisconsin, obviously, but Lady Rocket. The problem with Lady Rocket is she's got that go for wand win that really, you know, kind of jumps out and grabs you by the lapels. Other than that, I mean, she's okay, and she's won plenty of races. I mean, she's 6 of 13 with three placements, 3 seconds. It's a very good field. I'm anxious to hear what Schaap and what James Scully have to say about this. There's also two good maiden races on that Churchill card tomorrow. And if you didn't notice, D-Wayne is in the second race. He's got a two-year-old Uncle Mo, Philly. You got Philly's going five. He's got one named Summer Promise. This is an Uncle Mo out of Dream of Summer that promptly makes Summer Promise a half-sister to, oh, Creative Cause, Vexatious, Destin. Yeah. Yeah. $500,000 purchase. And this, you know what, when I'm seeing that, this is BC Stables. And we got to get a little more background. Army Mule has got one of his first runners. This will be his seventh starter. He's got two wins already and a stake win. The Bargain Stallion at Hillendale. So, some interesting races. There's also a maiden group later in the card that starts the late pick four. Three and ups that is, you know, I didn't really find anything from a sibling strength standpoint, per se. Love doing the pedigree work. So anyway, that's a glance forward. We got plenty of handicapping to do, a little bit of recapping, there's a little bit of news to fill in as the morning unfolds, and with Dave Grenig, we'll certainly mention the situation. One thing that people just do not seem to understand from a legality standpoint, and I don't want to get, you know, heavily sidetracked, and I'm sure Dave, who wrote the piece about you know, Naira's the way in which the penalty, the suspension, you know, the House suspension at Naira for Bob Baffert, and the panel, the not the what do you call it? The arbitration panel had recommended 2 years, and the final number is a year with some, you know, some days already applied to it. So Baffert effectively excluded until early January in New York. It's amazing that no matter how many times things like this come up, people have to be reminded of the separation of powers here. There are racetracks which have house rules and house administration and exclusionary rights. Then there are regulatory bodies that handle, you know, the overview and the administration of rules for the states, for the jurisdictions as a whole. Those are not the same things. So when people, you know, see what Naira's administrative, you know, decision was, it there's nothing to honor at other racetracks. You know, Churchill has got, you know, its policy that's been put in place applying to Baffert, and Naira, you know, took a similar posture. And then there's things like the KHRC's 90-day suspension for the positive associated with Medina Spirit in the Derby. That's something that's handed down by a regulatory body that is then reciprocated and is honored by all other jurisdictions. The House policies do not apply. Nobody's obligated to, you know, similarly exclude Baffert or anybody else. Let's hold up here. You can use Jerry Hollendorfer as an example. When Stronach Group, when they excluded Jerry Hollendorfer, he raced elsewhere. Racetracks, regulatory bodies, they're two different things. Two different things. That's like in in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, right? Judge Reinhold, no shirt, no service, no shoes, no service. You know, live it, learn it. Regulatory racetrack. All right. A couple of results from yesterday before KK joins us. Speaking of Churchill, we looked at that maiden group in the fifth yesterday. Did you watch this last night and the late evening, early evening, I guess, twilight card action? The one horse that I had an interest in, the one that was from Asmussen, ended up not participating, Tulson. But Armin, this is Kaleem Shah and Simon Callahan, and a Bolt Doro, the latest Bolt Doro, and from, well, was wearing the 12 saddle cloth, was able to move in two slots, and Martin Garcia aboard, and Armin became a prominent two-year-old in short order. Very impressive. And this is now, let's see, this is the 14th Bolt Doro to debut. This is the sixth win for Bolt Doros. Yeah, he is 6-14 so far with his debuting two-year-old. Yeah, pretty impressive. Went off at 3-2, and you had John Ennis, who does a great job with babies, and one of those, actually a trainer these days that is actually gone on with quite a few of the two-year-olds. This is a Caleb's Posse and an Oklahoma bred Eakley that was a good second at 47-1. How about that? Oaky bred. I love it. So keep an eye. The Bolt Doro story is. I mean, we got on it early during the sales, and now they're turning around and they're getting it done on the racetrack. There was also those other two maiden races that we brought up, and we were looking for some pedigree, and the one at Presque Isle yesterday, Ravelli. There's no stopping Ravelli. Back to Ohio. How about this? An Ohio bred in open company, Patricia's Hope, and this midshipman filly, and she was impressive and got bet. She was 4-5, and the one we were kind of watching was the Tim Ham Commissioner filly, the Tom Evans bred. This is the half to Toby's Heart. Worldly Beauty ran okay. It was third. Ran okay. Was kind of slow out of the gate, and then picked off some late markers, as they say. Not a complete surprise that this one might want to go longer, being a commissioner. And this was 5 furlongs, but it looked like there's something there. And actually had a couple of zippy workouts, in fact. So keep an eye on Worldly Beauty. And one of the cool things about this family, not just the fact that this is a half to Toby's Heart, but the dam, pick of the pack, daughter of Lil's Lad. You don't see much of that. And then finally, the other race was last night at Indy on that good card. And actually, Tina and I getting ready to leave tomorrow, so we were kind of distracted and didn't really watch too much of the later evening action. But this race ended up with an even money winner for Amos, and boy, the Tom Amos, the Amos summer train starting to roll. Even money winner with the Loveberry and Cat Wings. A Cupid filly. Cat Wings had made a handful of starts and breaks the maiden in the seventh start. It had some placements. It actually earned $50,000. This was a $75,000 yearling. And Sandra New and Aaron Haberman, the owners, and breaks through. And actually had run into a couple of seemingly nice horses on the way. So Cat Wings The horse we were watching, Fragrant, ran okay, sort of like the Toby's Heart sibling, Worldly Beauty. Fragrant, beaten like seven lengths, but was third, and again, you know, kind of slow into stride and got going late. So we'll keep an eye on this kind of late starting three-year-old. So those were those maiden races that we were keeping a little bit of an eye on. All right, let's get going in here. We'll get KK get started with him, all right, and talk about an eye on next weekend with Foster Night, okay? So the other couple of pieces, I'm not sure. I think we're talking to Steve Anderson later, I hope, in the third hour. And it is not today, but tomorrow, opening weekend at Los Al. You've actually heard the Los Al commercials and getting ready for the weekends that'll lead into Del Mar. They've got the Bertrando tomorrow, the Calbred stake, and of course the big stake of the summer season at Los Al, the Great Lady M. And we'll see if Steve can fill us in and maybe do a little bit of a Santa Anita wrap. With Santa Anita having wrapped up their season, their 6-month pleasure cruise, the return of Frank Miramonte to the booth at Monmouth Park. You will. Although I did see that Frank was having trouble getting to Jersey yesterday, he got diverted to Chicago, and he seemed a little unhappy with the food service choices at. He must be at O'Hare, because if he was at Midway, he could have gone to Home Run Inn. And our man Joe, and the great one of the great traditions in Chicago. But he said there was no pizza for him, I guess, at O'Hare. It's a tragedy. Tell you where else there's no pizza. That's in Louisville. KK joins us. Kevin Kirstein, good morning.
You can't find a single good pizza joint here in the Ville. I mean, it's so depressing. I want nothing more than just a plain slice of cheese, and there's nothing.
No, it's not like being in the Northeast, and whether, you know, we think New York, but Philly, a strong pizza town. Pretty funny. That was a natural. I couldn't help but take a swipe at the. You know how much of a pizza desert it is in Louisville that crazy Detroit style pizza is popular.
I saw it was National Detroit Style Pizza Day the other day, and there are pizza spots in the Ville that, you know, like my wife and her family, they sort of grew up on just because they're from this area and they think it's good pizza. They think is good pizza is the key word. However,
we know better.
Yeah. There's nothing better than a good, I know Frank's probably waiting to experience that Jersey pie once he gets down to Monmouth, and there's really nothing better than, you know, pizza in the Northeast.
Exactly. Well, we also, speaking of seasons drawing near a close, it won't be long before we turn our eyes to the pea patch. When you can see July looming on the calendar, we know that Ellis Park is not far off. But there's still some important business between now and closing weekend. The Foster slate is certainly anticipated. I've been there a couple different Fosters, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's sort of like a Derby, like a Derby light. And you know, when it's a night card, that enhances as well. And highly recommended. I mean, if you want an alternate big day at Churchill, Foster is a good choice.
Yeah, it's going to be a really fun day of racing, and you mentioned the Foster, which will be Saturday, July the 2nd. Foster, again, this year is a Breeders' Cup win, and you're in. $750,000 for the Foster, and it's going to be a really exciting matchup that day between the 2021 awarded Derby winner Mandaloon, who's making his return from the Saudi Cup, where he didn't really fare too well over there, but we know what Mandaloon is capable of. He's going to face Olympiad, who's one of the top older horses. They're going to be set for center stage on July the 2nd. It'll be a day program this year for the Foster, 12:45 p.m. first post. And, yeah, as you mentioned, with things getting into July, things are winding down. We have 9 racing days left at the meet. But, I mean, the Foster Day is just loaded with potential talent. And then even into we race on July the 4th this year, which was typically an Ellis Park date. We ended up getting that date from Ellis Park this year. And so we'll close the spring meet on July the 4th. So racing through the holiday on Monday at Churchill to close things out. But really, really looking forward to that Foster. American Revolution is another possible entrant in there. Last Samurai, Title Ready, Proxy. It's shaping up to be a really solid bunch. And, of course, the big matchup with Olympiad and Mandaloon.
You know, we should also mention, and again, I wanted to do some of this because, you know, from a timing standpoint, next weekend we won't be able to do the previewing. We'll be away, so wanted to get out in front of it. We should mention too, Jockeys and Jeans coming to Churchill.
Yeah, this is going to be a really fun event, and you know, obviously, these jockeys, every single day, they put their lives on the line for a lot of us gamblers and people that work in the industry. And they're really, you know, they can encounter some really tough injuries as part of a sport that we love. And so this is a benefit here that will be held at Churchill Downs on Stephen Foster Day, where we're going to have about 14 or 15 Hall of Fame riders here for an autograph session, a public meet and greet. There will also be some riders that unfortunately have suffered permanent injuries that are going to be here sharing their stories as part of the Jockeys and Jeans program. I mean, riders like Pat Day, Gene Kregay, Bill Boland. I mean, you name it, the list is large, and it's going to be a really fun event. And there's a private event here for Jockeys and Jeans that will be held in the Triple Crown Room. And so fans who just come out for the day of the races, want to come out for general admission, they get to be a part of the meet and greet. But if you want to be in a more intimate setting as part of Jockeys and Jeans, there's a $79 ticket, which includes a lunch buffet. You get a poster and be able to meet all the retired riders and Hall of Fame jockeys that will be in town. So a really special event for Jockeys and Jeans that will be held on Stephen Foster Day.
Well, you mentioned a few, but, you know, Gary Stevens, who will be there as well to, you know, for coverage for America's Day at the Races. But Jose Santos, Edgar Prado, Lafitte, you mentioned, Craig Barrett, Chris McCarron, Julie Crone, Sandy Hawley. Very nice feature, by the way, about Sandy Hawley at ABR this week. I sent it to Johnny D, who, of course, was Sandy's agent for many years. Early Fires, who literally is a human version of Popeye. If you've never seen, literally have never seen forearms, other than Popeye in cartoon form, that the Early Fires arms, I've never seen anything like it. Pat Day, Stevie Cawthon, Don Brumfield, Bill Boland, Braulio Baeza, and it's good that Braulio had been ailing, so it's nice to know that that he's going to travel. So he must be feeling better, and that's great. So Jockeys and Jeans. .com and you know, this moves around year to year, and always, and really has become a huge success. I mean, they're raising hundreds of thousands, you know, 250,000, 300,000, it seems, every year now with the Jockeys and Jeans. Let's hit a couple of other notes while we're doing this for next week, and when it comes to the rest of the stakes schedule. How about beyond the Foster? Because it's a, you know, it's a huge day.
Yeah, you know, besides the Foster obviously being the headliner, the Fleur de Lis is going to be a great race. It was previously a Breeders' Cup Winning Your In event, and they started their new series this year where a portion of the entry fees for the Breeders' Cup will be paid to the winning for the top three, I guess it is, in the Fleur de Lis. With Keeneland just being right down the road. So not a Winning Your In this year for the Fleur de Lis, but still a $350,000 grade two. That'll include last year, or the 2020 Kentucky Oaks winner, She Dares the Devil, Pauline Pearl for Steve Asmus, and she's all wolf, super quick for Norm Cassie, Will's Secret. And so that's shaping up to be a really fun race, too, for the females going a mile and an eighth in the 47th running of the Florida Lee. Also, the Wise Dan is the nominations are coming in hot and heavy for that race. Cavalry Charge, Atone. We'll also have some like a Hop Around for Mike Maker. And so things are getting better with the turf course, and really looking forward to turf racing returning to Churchill Downs with the Wise Dan, $350,000 grade two there. The Hanson, which is a race from Arlington, is going to be run as a feature on July the 4th. That's shaping up to be a pretty wide-open one-mile event for the four-year-olds and up. We also have the Basher Manor and the debutante for the two-year-olds. Kelly's Landing overnight is going to be really competitive with Bango looking for his record extending in the recent decade. I think his eighth win at Churchill Downs. He's just one of those horses that loves it here at Churchill Downs, and he's looking for another win for trainer Greg Foley. The Anchorage overnight stakes. A really fun next week program here at Churchill Downs. All the info is on churchilldowns.com. We'll have the full list of the probable entrants for all of those races in today's news update, which will hit the website probably around 12:30 this afternoon. And, yeah, 9 days left of the spring meet. And don't sleep on the Saturday program here tomorrow, Steve. That's going to feature a great matchup in the Chicago Stakes. You got Wisconsin. You have Bell's the One. You have Baroness for Cherie DeVoe. It's a really exciting event. Four races for Ian Wilkes. A fun race and a fun card tomorrow at Churchill Downs, too, for Saturday.
Well, a couple of questions, too, and I want to see if you've got any thoughts about this race. But you mentioned the turf course. Is there any update? What's the prognosis? I mean, are things headed in the direction that that the superintendent hoped, and I'm sure there's been a bunch of advisors when it comes to the horticultural aspect.
I mean, there's been people with titles that I never knew existed that are dealing with turf and grass. It's pretty amazing about some of these people that we've called and leaned on their expert takes. And it's obviously, we appreciate so much of the gamblers and the horsemen and everyone's patience, because just look in your own backyard, and when grass is having a tough time in certain seasons, it just takes some time. And that's really what ended up happening, is this turf course just needed to take some time and really grow and develop. And once it really turns around, it's a Bermuda grass course primarily. And so racetracks like Tampa and Colonial and the really, you see these as horse players, these grass courses that just look amazing on simulcast. And once everything takes over in the turf course, it'll look similar. But it just takes time. Bermuda grass is a type of grass that likes to grow in the hotter seasons. And so it really does its best type of growing now. And when we installed the course, it wasn't typically in the season of Bermuda. And so it just took some time to really for those roots to take hold of that Bermuda grass and become the turf course that I think we're going to really love as horse players and gamblers and the horsemen. So appreciate everyone's patience. And the plan is to run that Wise Dan. And there's three other turf stakes next weekend. And so things are coming around and things are going in the right direction on the turf course. And I was out there this morning, and there's, it doesn't maybe look as good on camera when you're watching our simulcast feed, but out there this morning, I think it's really coming along well. And I'm no grass expert or turf expert from any of those standpoints. I just know that when I cut my backyard and there's patches in it, I get frustrated. And so I can only imagine what the frustration some of these people are going through. I was out there this morning, and I think things are coming in the right direction. So it's I think the turf course is a good project that we have going on here. And it was a $10 million project that was installed last year. It'll be featured in the Arlington Million Day on August the 13th, and then for many years to come. And so, it just takes a little bit of patience, and sometimes it's a little bit easier said than done in horse racing.
Yeah, I would just hope everything goes in the direction they're hoping. Let's go back to the, speaking of Arlington, let's go back to the latest of the Arlington stakes being run at Churchill for the first time. And here's the Chicago, and you mentioned it, and you hit some of the participant highlights. What do you make of this? And what, you got to lean in here at all, Kev?
It this race just became just, you know, I don't want to say it's a rider's race in any means, but, you know, Tyler Gaffalione has been the regular rider for Wisconsin in some of her best starts. Back-to-back winning colors victories when he rode her in the Open Mind and in the Rocks Lana. He's really ridden her in some of her best starts. And he is riding White Barrio this weekend in the Ohio Derby. And so it really just throws just a curveball of things to Wisconsin, who's the 2-1 morning line favorite. She'll be ridden by Mitchell Merle, who's a very capable rider, has the, you know, some Chicago connections. He's represented by Tim Hannish, who's a Chicago native. Mitchell, of course, rode many years at Arlington Park, and she'll be ridden by Mitchell in that start. But, I mean, up and down this field, you have Bella's the One, who's just, you know, class of class, 4 of 9 victories here at Churchill Downs. Lady Rocket, who looks to be the lone speed. Baroness for Sherita Vo. If I had to have a lean in here at all, I think Baroness has really turned around when she's started turning back in distance as now an older horse. She's a 5-year-old daughter of Bayern. Louis Saez comes in town to ride for Sherita Vo and the Belladonna Racing Partnership. And she returned just in a field of 3 last time out in the Rocks Lawn. It was a muddy track that day on opening night. And then, but I do think that she's headed in the right direction, and I think she's setting up for a very big year this summer at Saratoga, probably in some bigger races there, and of course leading into that Breeders' Cup Filly Mare Sprint. So I think the price may be right on Baroness. Obviously, I'm the biggest Wisconsin homer that there could be, but I think it just throws a bit of a curveball into things when she's not having her regular rider and first-time rider Mitchell Merle aboard her. So if I had to lean anywhere, it's going to be Baroness. I think the price will be right, and but obviously my heart is rooting for Wisconsin and the Foleys.
Well, it will be interesting. And boy, the Foley team is on a huge roll, you know, winning on Wednesday night at Canterbury to take the Mystic Lake Derby. You look at this, I mean, from a pace standpoint, it sure feels like, you know, Ricardo Santana controls it with Lady Rocket. Calypso, you know, has typically shown speed. She didn't use it necessarily. She kind of, you know, sat close last time and at Lone Star. And Louis Saez, you got to think that Louis looks for like an inside-out trip with Baroness. This is a terrific, terrific group of 7. And obviously Four Graces and Bell's the One and Wisconsin are going to be, you know, 5th, 6th, and 7th during the early running down the long backstretch. So this is good. And it's also part of the cross-country Pick 5 with the Mother Goose and the 2 races from Ohio and the Turf Sprint coming in from Monmouth. KK, I appreciate this.
No, I just can't wait to gamble on this cross-country Pick 5 this weekend. I mean, 55 minutes and those type of races, it's a great sequence that is being offered this weekend. And, you know, there's no gimmies in this Chicago at all, and really in any of those races. So I think it's going to be a fun sequence for a jam-packed hour-long for that cross-country Pick 5.
Well, and I told everybody yesterday, actually, about the original 60-minute Pick 6, which Sal Sinatra put together several years ago. And you know, the fact that these are all, you know, going to be done in less than an hour, that you know, that's a great selling point. You can carve out that portion of the day, and one after the other. Kevin, I appreciate it, and we'll talk. I suppose over the summer. You coming east at all? Are we going to see you at Saratoga this summer?
Well, I've got 10 days until I'm getting some East Coast pizza, so I'm counting down the days until then. And I'm going to Hassel Day, and I'm not sure if I'll make a trip up to Saratoga yet or not, but definitely going to be there for the Hassel, and counting down the days until I can have a delicious slice of Jersey pie.
Nice. All right. We will catch up with you during the second half. Thanks for all the help during this first half of the season. Kevin, Kirstein, everybody. Horse Racing, KK. See you soon.
All right, Steve. Thanks for all the coverage. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Kevin Kirstein, everybody. And you can watch for KK and Darren Rogers and probably Shap, who we'll talk to in a few minutes tonight on Inside Churchill Downs, 6 to 7. Rusty Arnold's going to join us, and we'll pay appropriate tribute to Glenn Bromigan, Ashbrook. So Rusty Arnold next, and you know, as we frequently do when we have these conversations, we'll also get a chance to, you know, to ask Rusty about some things going on in the barn, because he's had some nice success. He had Cellist, what was that, last week or 2 weeks ago? A couple weeks ago? When did Cellist, I forget, when did Cellist win? The Churchill, right? The Louisville? Well, we'll ask. And he just ran, he ran the other night in the Lady Canterbury, too. He had a horse that kind of looked at, that Joy of Painting, just looking down here. So we'll catch up with Rusty, but first order of business is an appreciation of Glenn Bromigan and, you know, a family that, you know, he basically had a business career and then turned his attention to his real love. And managed to, in pretty short order, you know,
you got it,
had a lot of success. And Rusty, a very big part of that success, including the Grade One win, going back a couple of years. Was last year, 2 years ago? Weep No More. Here's Rusty Arnold joining us now. Rusty, I appreciate this. I couldn't think of anybody better to visit to pay tribute, proper tribute to Glenn Bromigan.
Yeah, and your time's flying past for you, Steve. It's been about 8 or 10 years for Weep No More.
No, it's not. That's not possible.
It's been a while. Now, it was only a few, only two or three for Concrete Rose, who also Mr. Bromigan owned. But, he's nobody I'd rather speak about than him. He was, just a really guy that helped me get going when I was young. Got me some, you know, first group of some pretty nice horses, and I think I looked up the other night, won my first graded stake for him in 1988, and still was training for him in 2022. That's a heck of a run.
Wow, I was unaware of his business background. Basically the Board of Trade, right? He was in cattleman. He was a cattle trader.
And I think it's called the Mercantile that he was on in
Mercantile,
Chicago.
Yes.
Yeah, his seats were. I know it was a really big deal. I don't know enough about it to talk about it. Bo would, but he was extremely, active in that early when I trained for him, and traded up until probably this year. I know I've been in his house with him talking only a year or two ago, and he'd be talking to you about horses and trading cattle on his computer at the same time. So he stayed right in both ends of it the whole time.
Talk about him establishing Ashbrook and you know, that, because it was obvious that, you know, once he had business success and felt like he had secured the kind of future and stability for the family, he had this in mind to get heavily involved in the game.
I think it was, with me, it was almost a two-tier thing. Early on, when I trained for him, I think we ran under Bromigan Cattle Company early on, and he had trained earlier, and then when he had the family, and I think he wanted it to be put all together under Ashbrook Farm. My early years training for Glenn, his wife was not as nearly as involved, Sandy, because they had a young family, they had kids, and, you know, they had soccer and t-ball and activities, kids, so she wasn't around as near as much. And when I moved back to Kentucky, I guess in 2006, 2007, the kids were out of high school, they were in college. I think Ashley was already, you know, married or close to that time. And then Sandy has the same involvement, if not more, than Glenn as far as the personal. She has access. She comes to the barn X number of days a week, walks through the barn, looks at all the horses. She's there for every race and was extremely involved. And I think would have been the whole time, just early on, she was raising the kids.
And Glenn is a gambler at heart. You know, he's a trader and a gambler. He loves his horses, and nothing more, you know, important to him than winning a big race. But he loved the gambling part of it. He always had a saying with me. If he wasn't there, he'd call me on the phone, and you know, you might have an owner would ask you what the odds were. Glenn didn't do that. He'd call me and say, "What's the point spread, Rusty? What's the point spread?" That he always called it the point spread.
I'm looking at some of the some of the successes more recently anyway, and it seems like there's a very good model. And of course Bo, son Bo, is in bloodstock, and they seem to have kind of a budget. $100,000-$150,000. Weep No More was $130,000. If you go back to Reb was $100,000. I mean, it seems like they've carved out success with a very focused program.
Yeah, they run it as a business, and Bo and it's a family business. The other two kids are in it too, Tyler and Ashley. They're not the hands-on part. Bo is the hands-on, but Bo, and when Bo decided he wanted to get in the horse business, he came and worked for me for a while, not a long time. He would know more. It might have felt like a long time to him working for me, but he wasn't there for a long time. And then he worked in the racing office for a while, and then he really loved the bloodstock, and that's what he liked. And we actually put him with David and Gordo. And he worked with David and Gordo for X number of years, and, probably bought the horses together under David's flag. And then in the last 5 to 6 years, Bo has bought them on his own, and he has sent me a wealth of good horses. He sent me Weep No More. He sent me Concrete Rose. They sent me Southern Honey. Just a string of good horses I have now. El Cabong, Bama Breeze. Bo picks them all out. He may ask me for a second opinion every now and then, but that's all. I mean, maybe that's why we get along really well. He does all the bud stock and he sends them to me, and that's what we do.
You know, there's been a couple different obituaries that have cropped up. Eric Mitchell wrote an extensive one in the Blood Horse, and it's a 90 years old. So you know, there's a good half century of coverage here, and that includes having started in the game with TJ Kelly as his trainer. I mean, that's how, that's the breadth of Bromigan's experience. Quite something, actually, when you think about that.
Yeah, well, he was very involved early on, even before I worked with him in Chicago. You know, his business was in Chicago, and the Kelly, and also T. Red Bernice, I think, trained quite a few horses for him when he was training. And then when I actually got him when he more focused in Kentucky and moved his operation here and wanted to race with the family more around Keeneland and Churchill. And, you know, we still ran in Chicago. We had Rib, won a Great Estate of Chicago, Wicked Style, won the Arlington Washington Maturity. We still raced there, and I'm not sure they may still maintain a home there. They always did down on Lakeshore Drive. I don't know if they still have it. I think they do. But they would still go there for the summers, and he loved to go to the races. He loved to be there, and he loved to play. And he was just one of those special people, Steve, that did it all. He didn't breed a lot. That wasn't his deal, because I think that was a little slow for Glenn, the breeding. He liked buying them and breaking them and get them to the racetrack and run them. And that was kind of what he wanted to know. When you talk to him, he'd say, I want to know when they're going to run. That was his big deal. And he was there. He loved coming. And he loved the racetrack environment. He never missed a race at Keeneland, and very rarely would miss one in Chicago.
The kind of, I know that you were quoted in Eric's obit, the kind of owner that that barns really appreciate, looks after the help, and gracious that way, and generous, and this is the kind of owner that the game is always eager to find, and important to keep. I mean, the kind of people that don't get frustrated if things don't go their way. They you know, shrug it off and move on to the next, and you know, bring people to the, you know, try to bring people into the sport. It was an invaluable promoter of the game.
He was just like we talked earlier. He loved the betting. He loved owning them. He loved being there. He played all parts of it. And they don't replace them. You know, they're just guys that have done it for so long. They know it's a bumpy road. Glenn knew it was a bumpy road. You had ups and downs. And he was one of those guys that stayed level through the ups and downs. You'd have a bad run, and he told me one day. He said, "You know what?" He says, "It's like playing at a card table." He said, "You sit in there, the chair rusty." He said, "Things aren't going good. Get up and change seats. It'll change." And he likened that to racetracks. When we're running, this meet's over. Let's move to the next one. You know, we've got to make a change. And he just was steady. He never wavered in the whole time. He was just really a remarkable man, and helped shape me early on. And when he didn't have to, when I was unheard of, and he stayed right through the whole thing. And they've just been a wonderful family to work with.
Now, I knew that there was really only one person to call. And when Bo's up to it, we'll be, quite happy to have him pay tribute to his dad. And for those that haven't heard the details about the arrangements, there's a visitation tomorrow, 10 o'clock at Pisgah Presbyterian on Pisgah Pipe. And thereafter, a graveside service that starts at 11. And for those that want to make a contribution in Glenn Bromigan's memory, it's the Glenn Bromigan Sharpsburg Memorial Fund, Bluegrass Community Foundation, 499 East High Street, number 112, Lexington, 40507. Bluegrass Community Foundation, the Bromigan Sharpsburg Memorial Fund. All right. Gotta take the opportunity, Rusty, as well, to touch on a few things. Talk about the Royal Ascot experience.
Well, it obviously didn't go fabulous for us. We did not run as well as you were hoped or as expected. I personally didn't make the trip. The owners, I think, had a great experience and a great time over there. I think wish we would have run a little bit better, but both horses got back into the country, and I think highly of both, and we'll move forward over here. And I was actually talking to Christoph yesterday, and maybe we need to fine-tune what we're doing to figure it out, but I think a lot of people like to go, and they like, the sportsmen of it like to do it. So I think it's something we'll probably end up doing again.
Tell me about it, because there's a starter coming up at Indy next week. Tell me about this ownership group, this Dew Sweepers.
They put ownership together with the biggest intent was to get to Royal Ascot. I think they bought 7 horses, and we said, see if we can get any there. We got 2, and the others are going to race and then be sold. I think all 7 of them are in the July 12th or 11th sale at Fazzik Tipton. That was designed in the contract when they bought them, to try to get them to Royal Ascot, try to get them to run, then they would all sell. And that will end it, and then they'll decide what they're going to do for the next time, whether they redo it. The mechanics of that are Jack Goldthorpe and Karen Dunn. I just train them. But that was the deal, and we have 2 more of them in on Tuesday, and those will race on Tuesday, and then they'll be sold.
Interesting. Just the fact that you got 2 out of 7 over there, that's an accomplishment in itself.
Yeah, it was. We'd like to have done a little bit better, but we'll work on that in the future.
Well, a couple of things locally as well, domestically, and before we talk about a couple of starters, including a gun runner for Calumet on Sunday at Churchill, I do want to ask you some thoughts about Gear Jockey it's 2 weeks ago, the Jiper, because that had to be a little frustrating.
Yeah, we really thought he was on top of a big race, and he didn't show up, which is very odd for him, very rare for him. We got him back to Lexington. We sent him to Rude and Riddle to Dr. Bramlage for a workup, and he thought he found some issues with him that explained it. And he's in my barn, but he is going to probably have a month off of any heavy training. And he did some work on him, and we now are going to shoot for the fall with our goal to make the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland and to race at Kentucky Downs. So that's probably will be our two major goals, and it is nothing that's very serious, but it probably caused him to run a bad race. So hopefully we'll put that race behind
him.
Interesting.
Excellent. All right. Well, and you know, when you think about, we're going to talk to Dave Grenig later about Echo Zulu. He followed up, you know, she had to scratch even before, you know, she didn't even get to run. And same kind of thing. And see, you know, a couple, just a little, you know, little things that, that a horse can go through. So, good. I'm glad I asked about it. At the same time, there has been plenty of successes. Cellist, going back a couple of weeks to the Louisville win.
Yeah, Cellist is doing great. Came out of the Louisville win great. You know, we kind of all got a little setback with the Churchill Turf course being shut down. So it kind of changed our plans. We started scrambling. I ran a horse at Canterbury the other night, first time for a long time, just searching for a spot. But I think Cellist is going to head for the Colonial Cup at Colonial Downs. I think that's the plan right now. With the, you know, the Calumet race at Kentucky Downs, our main goal for the fall.
Well, I will see you then at, I mean, I'll see you at Saratoga, but I'm going to be there at Colonial for the Cup. I guess that's probably the last Monday in July. Very cool. Nice. All right. How about a couple of maiden winners, including one of those Dew Sweepers, Grand Oak? You also had late September, and I think late September was impressive, right? That going back 3 weeks.
Yeah, he was, of course, one that we took to Royal Ascot and tried him on a turf. Didn't work. He's a dirt horse, and we just took a chance. So he'll get ready, and again, he's in the sale on July 11th, as is Grand Oak. And trying to find somebody to keep Grand Oak, both of them, because they're, you know, I think she's a very, very talented filly, very. And things did not go great in Royal Ascot, but she's got a big future, I think.
Well, you mentioned El Caban, who's most recently got an allowance win, and there was Calumet. Let's get back to Calumet, the Optimizer colt, double clutch.
Well, he was in about 3 weeks ago, and it was the first day that they canceled the turf racing, so he didn't get to run. And he is either going to, if they ran at Churchill, he's going to run an American Derby on 4th of July weekend. If they don't, he will go to New York and run in the, I'm going to forget the name of it right now. Is it the Pennine Ridge or something? Anyway, it's a mile race at Belmont, and he's going to run in one of the two.
Excellent.
Really,
all
really
right.
Talented horse. I like that horse. Yeah.
Well, and you know, he won at Second Asking, and this is a horse that, by pedigree, it should only get better with experience and with distance.
Yeah, we're hoping he has a big future, Steve, and you know, hopefully see him at Dueling Grounds and the Dueling Ground Derby in the fall.
Well, and you certainly will see you there as well. But you had a big run there, of course, last year. Let me close it out with a question about Course Runner. This is a firster on Sunday. Was a May foal, a Calumet homebred out of the Strut the Stage Mare, Strut the Course. What's the prospects here?
Well, we like her, obviously. I mean, she's got all the breeding. She's a gun runner, which. Hopefully, you just have nothing but blue sky in front of her. We didn't get her there as a two-year-old. She had a little issue. We had to stop on her for the winter. They sent her back this spring, and we're excited to get her there and hope we have a future with her.
All right. Look for that on Sunday. And the Gun Runners, of course, they've been exciting. This is a sibling of Kentucky Pharaoh that... people might remember that won the Dania Beach going back, it was 11, I think last year maybe.
Correct.
So, And there's, yeah, and then behind that one, there's a Mr. Speaker. There's a Mr. Speaker two-year-old, and then there's a Golden Sense yearling. The Mr. Speaker's a filly as well, so keep an eye. And she was strut the course. She was nice. That was a nice. She was a stake horse herself.
Yeah, this is a nice family. Very nice family.
Very cool. All right. Well, Rusty, this was I couldn't let. I'm going on vacation, so I could not let Glenn Bromigan's passing go, you know, without the proper attention. I really appreciate it. Best of luck here through the end of Churchill, and we'll see you soon enough at Saratoga.
Okay, Steve. We'll talk to you then. You got it.
I appreciate it. Rusty Arnold, everybody, and Glenn Bromigan. And we got a quick survey of what's going on in the Arnold Barn. Let's take the top of the hour break. Exactly 10 o'clock, actually. We'll come back. We've got Scott Shapiro. We've got Dave Granick and Scully in the next hour at the races. It's Twin Spires Weekend Preview at the races. Stay with us.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Horse racing fans, major daytime Southern California thoroughbred racing returns to Los Alamitos Racecourse with the LA County Fair Meet. Opening day is Saturday, June 25th. The opening day card will be headed by the Bertrando Stakes. Plus, the daytime meet will also feature a special holiday racing program on Monday, 4th of July. The 4th of July card will be headed by the Grade 2 Great Lady M Stakes. Past winners of this outstanding race for fillies and mares include champions Gamine and Finest City and the outstanding Marley's Freedom and Horse Players. The 4th of July program will also feature our popular live money on-track handicapping contest. You could win one of two berths to the 2023 National Handicapping Championship in Las Vegas. The contest format is available at losalamitos.com. Plus, our day and night weekend doubleheaders also return as our live quarter horse and thoroughbred nighttime action will follow the daytime cards. Watch all the action on TVG or at your favorite satellite facility or ADW provider. The LA County Fair Meet at Los Alamitos Racecourse. 9 days of great racing. Opening day is Saturday, June 25th. For more, visit losalamitos.com.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product.